We want to take this opportunity to welcome those who are visiting with us. We want you to know we're happy that you're in our presence this morning. We hope that your reason to come here is to study and to worship God, and to that end we will help in any way that we can for you to accomplish to do that. If you find or have any questions about the things that are done or said here, we'll be more than happy to give you an answer to the things that we do and the things that we teach, because we believe that the gospel teaches us very plainly that we are to come to worship God in spirit and in truth. And to endeavoring to do that, we must do all things in accordance to the pattern we find in the New Testament. If you find that we have not done that, we'll be more than happy to entertain that with you and come to a better knowledge of the Scriptures. We'd ask you to open your Bibles and your minds as we study some things that will help us as we live upon this earth. Why don't you take your Bibles out, please, and turn them to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In just a few moments, we're going to be reading some passages together in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the entire chapter, and up until some of the few verses of chapter number 5 this morning. From the very beginning of time, God knew what was in the heart of man. When God created Adam and Eve and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it, he gave him to have dominion over all that he created. And he had fellowship with God. And there was no evil in the world. There was no temptation, sickness, sin, death, misery, pain, difficult times. There were none of those things. And yet, when the tempter came in the form of a serpent and tempted Eve, she gave in to the temptation, she yielded, and when she did, death was born. And sin was born. And with sin came difficulty, trial, and tribulation. And thus, some 6,000 years later, is still there and is still causing a great deal of problem. Hardship. It's something that faces every one of us in varying degrees and at various times. We have no warning except to be assured in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 that all who live in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And this life is going to have its share of persecution and hardship. It comes in various ways. It could come in our work. It could come with our families. It could come with personal illness and sickness. It could come with loss of things that are dear and precious to us. But hardship comes. And when it comes, it's going to do one of two things. It's either going to strengthen your faith and your relationship with God, or it is going to weaken it, and inevitably it's going to destroy it. But the choice of which it does is dependent upon how we cope with hardship. How do we cope with the hardship that this life presents before us? And if you've been lucky, and I will underline the word lucky, to never endure hardship, don't worry, you haven't been missed. It is coming. And that's the bad news. But the good news is that it does not have to be as bad as it might be. If we learn to cope with it, and we learn a way that it can benefit us, that it can strengthen our resolve, strengthen our commitment to God, and that it would strengthen the things and the hope and the promises that we have in Christ Jesus. And so this morning I want to give you four reasons why we can't give up and throw in the proverbial towel, why we can't turn our back upon God, and why we can't look back with fond memories of what could have been and should have been. Coping with hardship indeed is difficult. Have you ever felt drained? Have you ever just felt just completely drained emotionally? You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. And it just seems that everything is coming against you. Have you ever faced adversity and questioned the reason why? Have you ever faced adversity and want to know why it has to be this bad, this terrible, and this deep? And have you ever become discouraged by family, by friends, and yes, even by your own brethren? Have you ever been discouraged and want to give up? To throw in the proverbial tone, say, what's the use? What difference does it make? It doesn't matter how much I love God. It doesn't matter how much I strive to do the right thing. It doesn't matter how much I do. It just seems that nothing is the way that I want it to be. Well, I want to suggest to you this morning that there are four keys that can help you to focus and keep going in time of hardship. There are four keys, and we're going to look at these four keys in four ways. Our work, our purpose, our faith, and our hope. And those four things, if you will let them, will help you allow yourself to remain focused when difficulty comes and hardship is trying to knock you off course. To begin with this morning, let us focus on our work. And turn to 2 Corinthians 4, and let us read the first six verses. 1 Corinthians to 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor the handling of the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine upon them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus Christ. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. One of the things that can help us focus on our work is that we help others spiritually. The ability to serve others is a blessing. Sometimes you can minimize your own hardship when you try to help someone else deal with theirs. When you try to feel compassion and empathy and understanding that life can sometimes be very difficult just living day by day. And it is a spiritual blessing, and it is a direct blessing when we try to endeavor to help others deal with their hardships. It will help us and it will help them. And we need to serve with integrity. We need to be honest with ourselves. And we need to serve with integrity to understand that we're not being punished. That we're not doing this because we're bad people. And it's not coming upon us because we've done some dangerous or difficult thing in our life. It's happening because we live in the world. Because we have this thing called life. And this thing called life brings us hardships that are inevitable. And we need not to lose sight that they are temporary. They will not endure. And we need to understand this next point. You can't help everyone. Now, you know, this is difficult to grasp. But you know there's some people you cannot help. And you know why? Because they don't want your help. They are self-destructive. And when you wrap yourself around them, they will not only bring them down, they will bring you down. And they cannot be helped. It is not because you can't help them. It is not because you don't love them. It is not because you don't want to help them. It is because they do not want the help. They want to have misery along with their own misery. Ask me to explain it, I cannot. Ask me to understand it, I do not. But I have lived in this world long enough that I have met people that to wrap yourself up in their lives will bring you much discomfort. It will end up destroying you as well as them. And we need to be careful. The Bible says very clearly in Matthew 7th chapter by the words of our Lord Himself that we do not cast our pearl before a swine. And even the disciples were taught by the Master himself that when you go into a city and they reject you and they reject my ways, to shake off the dust from your feet and go on to someone else. Why do we need to do that? In order that we might not also be lost in the struggle. Ladies and gentlemen and brethren, we need to understand that God has commanded us to love all men, but not at the cost of our love for Him, or even our love for ourselves, and the inability that we get wrapped up in the lives of others that minimizes what we can do for others, because we are so immersed in helping someone who does not want help. I have had the personal experience of striving for a number of years to help a person and watch that person destroy himself right before my eyes. And I'm going to tell you something. It can really get discouraging. It can weigh on you heavy. But you need to realize that all you can do is offer the help. It is up to others to receive it. That's all I can do. And we need to understand that the work is God's, and He will reward accordingly. You don't need to worry that you get anything in this life. You may not get anything for being willing to help others. You may not get anything in this life because you're able to cope and you're able to help others who cope, but your reward is being registered in heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, all the good things that come to us may not come to us in this life. God has promised good things to those that love Him, but that doesn't mean that everything will be good in my life. And we need to understand that when I will focus on doing the work of God, that the rewards will take care of themselves. I have never met a Christian who has put God first that did not have a life that I never heard one complaint. I have seen men and women who are children of God who have struggled with under one adversity after another. I have seen them come upon one hardship after another, but they never lost sight of what it was all about. And they never lost sight that it did something that caused them not to be able to help others. Because I believe, and experience has taught me, that sometimes I can help myself a lot if I learn to help others. You know, my grandfather told me many, many years ago that whenever you think you have a bad, the Lord will let you live long enough to find someone that has it worse than you. And that has really been the case in my own life. You know what I used to do when I used to get down and think, I don't know what to do, I don't know where to turn, and I just doesn't seem that anything I'm doing is working. You know what I'd do? I'd go to a nursing home. And I'd just walk down the aisles. And I'd just visit the people who are in those homes. And when I walked out of there, my problems didn't seem to be so insurmountable. They didn't seem to be there. They were so overwhelming that I didn't know where to turn and I didn't know what to do. You know what it did? It gave me perspective. It allowed me to see things clearer because I wasn't just focusing on me. I was focusing on someone else. That can help you cope with hardship. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Lord said through the Apostle Paul, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for ye know that your labor is not in vain." It is not in vain if we will focus on our work. But another thing that can help you in coping with hardship is focus upon your purpose. Look at verses 7 through 12. Verses 7 through 12. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, and in the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to the death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus who may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. We need to focus on our purpose of understanding, making known the life of Jesus. Whenever you've got a hardship, try to share the word of the Lord with someone else. Try to take it to someone else who needs it worse than you need it. Make known the life of Christ. The value of God's message is treasure in earthen vessels. In this context, it was in the apostles. And they would have it recorded later on, and now we have it in our hand. And ladies and gentlemen, this is earthen treasure. This is treasure that's worth more money than all the money that's in the world. For it deals with man's greatest need. It deals with his greatest need and the answer to the remedy of his greatest problem. And this treasure is needed by all men who live upon this earth. Men, women, young, aged, middle aged, it makes no difference. The message and the treasure in this needs people, me, to know it. The cost of preaching God's message were knocked down but not knocked out. You know, one of the reasons I believe in my heart that we're not as successful in personal evangelism as we need to be, we worry too much about what might happen. We worry about being rejected. Let me tell you, you're going to be rejected more than you're going to be received. Should I just give up? Somebody slams the door in your face. Somebody calls you a Bible thumper. Somebody tells you you need a religion as a crutch. Somebody tells you that I don't need that crutch. Somebody tells you that I don't believe in that. This has happened in my life and that has happened in my life. And I turned to God and where was He? You know, there are always going to be skeptics. There are always going to be people that ridicule us. Let me ask you a question. Where would the church be if the early disciples gave up because of the ridicule and the persecution they received? Where would we be if the Lord allowed the things that people did to Him to distract Him and for Him forget His purpose? You know, nobody was more maligned than our Lord. All He did in Acts 10:38, the Bible says, is went about doing good, and all the good He did, the more evil He got for it. Every time He did something, somebody was trying to turn it around and discredit Him. Every time He did something, they were trying to give an ultra motive, that there was some dastardly motive behind what He did. Never would they praise Him, never would they accept it that He did it out of love, but you know what? He didn't stop teaching, did He? And you know what? You're going to get knocked down. People are going to humiliate you. People are going to make fun of you. I've had it happen to me. It's going to happen to you. But you know what you need to do? You need to do what the apostles did. You remember when they went before the Sanhedrin Council in Acts 4? And you remember when they were brought in and they said, now don't you teach any more in this man's name because you're causing all this chaos and we don't want you to teach any more in this man's name. And they threatened them and they sent them out. You know what they did? They went out and continued preaching and teaching publicly and privately. And then they brought him in again and said, didn't we tell you to stop? Didn't we tell you not to preach in this man's name? You're determined to bring this man's blood upon us. No, they could have said, no, we're not doing that. You already done that. You already did that when you asked him to be crucified and let his blood be upon us and our children's children. You did that. We didn't do that. But you know what they did? Then they beat them. Now, we're not just talking about a little beating. We're talking about a scourging. They whipped them. But you know what they did in Acts 5, verse 41? It says they went out and they praised and worshiped God and thanked Him that they were willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. They weren't discouraged. Nobody's going to whip you. Nobody's going to scourge you. Nobody's going to put you on a public display, but yet we don't do it. Let me ask you a question. Why is it that those who want to perpetrate and to proclaim and proclamate the religious errors of our day, voices are louder than ours? They got error. They don't even have the truth. And they got more zeal with error than we got with the truth. You see, we need to understand we're here and we're going to have hardship. We're going to have difficulty, but that cannot dissuade us from what we're here to do. And that is to broaden the borders of the kingdom of God. That's why God put us here. And we need to understand the purpose of God's message, presents a living Savior so others can live. You know why others need a living Savior? So they can cope with their hardship that is coming. You know when a man is battling a problem, whether it's with alcohol, whether it's with drugs, whether it's with jobs, whether it's with his own self-esteem, whatever he's struggling with in life, whatever hardship is presented in his life, you know what the answer to that hardship is? Jesus Christ. When they turn their life over to Jesus Christ, they're going to have real help to deal with their hardship. They're going to have a help that will get them through. No, it will not take the hardship away, but it will make it manageable. And if it's something they're doing to themselves, it will cause them to understand that they can beat it. You know, when I've been told about every addiction that can happen to men, you know what the first and foremost thing that needs to happen? They have to acknowledge they have a problem. You can't help someone until they acknowledge they have a problem. And we need to understand that presenting a living Savior can help people deal with hardship. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul would say, "It is not I who live, but Christ who liveth in me." He had been crucified with Christ. And we need to be crucified with Christ. And we need to, even in hardship, don't forget about who we are and what we're here to do. We are here to do the Master's bidding. And hardship or no hardship, we are required to fulfill that commitment. Another thing that we must do is we must focus on our faith. Look at verses 13 through 16. "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believe and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore we speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread throughout many may cause the thanksgiving of God, thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day." We need to understand faith is the victory. It gives us strength to overcome hardship. Look at verse 13. "And since we have the same spirit of faith," the faith that the disciples had, even though they were perplexed, distressed, discouraged, they never gave it up. And neither can you. You know why the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God? You know why that passage is in Scripture? Because there's going to be time, that's the only thing you got. There's going to be time in your life that the only thing that's going to see you through the darkness and the gloom and the difficulty is your faith in Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that it can overcome hardship. It can help us deal with adversity. It can help us deal with tribulation. It can help us deal with discouragement when we look and we read about other men and women who have faced trials much more difficult than our own, and yet they never gave up. They never lost sight. And they never allowed their difficulty to turn into a negative. Do you have that kind of faith? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing God. Faith comes by hearing God. Not just any faith, Bible faith. Bible faith has come by hearing God's Word and then making application to it. Faith is trusting. Faith is trusting God that His answers are the best answers. Ladies and gentlemen, when our Lord and our Savior tells us that the best thing to do in our life is to love and pray for our enemy, that indeed is true. That's what he said in Matthew 5, 44 and 45. That's what Paul wrote in Romans 12, verse 17 through 21. He tells us that we ought to pray for those who despitefully use us and our enemies, and the Bible says we are to love them. You know why that's right? Because God said it is right. God tells us in His Word that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. The Bible says very, very plainly, "Cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you." 1 Peter 5, verse 7. The Bible says, make your requests known unto God. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Do you trust God? Do you truly trust Him with your life and with your faith? And faith is something that is grateful. You know, I wish that many of you had the opportunity to see real poverty, to understand how greatly blessed we are in this country. It almost makes me ashamed. If you remember a few years ago, Brother Gumpat from the Philippines came here to visit. He was in the States. He spoke one Sunday evening. I remember when I had Rhodey stay with us for a few days, and I remember in my mind I was ashamed for Rhodey to see how I live in this country. You know why? Because I saw thousands of brethren in that country who lived in places we wouldn't put an animal. I seen them live in places where five people would occupy a room that was smaller than my family room. But you know what I remember most about the Philippine people? They were happy. How could you be happy? You know why they were happy? They learned something that we have not learned in this country. They learned contentment. They accepted where they were at, and they were grateful for what they had, no matter how little that it might be by our standard. And I remember talking to the Philippine people a lot, that they look at us and our prosperity, and they think, what a wonderful blessing that is. But you know what? I've lived on this earth long enough that what may be one man's blessing may be another's adversity. Because I believe that sufficiency of our country and our ability to have and our ability to be so blessed has clouded our judgment in our need for God and our need that it all came from Him. Yes, we are blessed. And they asked me, would you live anywhere else? And I'd say, no, I wouldn't. I am thankful to be a member of this country. But I understand that I am blessed not because I'm an American, but I'm blessed because I'm a child of God and because God loves me. And we need to be grateful. One of the things that can help you cope with hardship is remember the good things that God has done for you. And because you have this difficulty, God has not turned His back on you. He has not forgotten about you. And He still loves you. And He is still there to help you. God does not turn His back on us, especially in the hour that we need Him most. And we need to have faith that is rejuvenated. You know what the Bible tells us? That if we allow our struggles and trials to strengthen us, it will make us stronger. You know, when I first read that when I was young, I thought, how in the world can it do that? How can difficulty and hardship and tribulation and discouragement, how can that make you better? You know how it makes you better? Because it makes you rely upon your faith like you have never relied on it before in your life. And you know what it does? It makes faith real. Makes it come alive. Now you don't look at it as some abstract thing. Now you look at it as something that's real and tangible. Something that can see you through the gloom and the darkness to get you to the light. You see, faith can do that. And it can rejuvenate you and it can make you stronger. And you know when the next battle comes and the next hill you've got to overcome, it's not as high. Not as steep, not as long. And you can see the light way ahead, where before you could never see it. Now you're looking for it. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that growth can help us deal with every aspect of we must cope with in this life. Death, sickness, misery, injustice, ungodliness, immorality, anything you want to put in the blank, faith can help you deal with it if you let it, and if you master it, and if you will focus on it. Faith can help you deal with hardship. One other thing. Look at verse 16 one more time. Look at what this means. The outward man is perishing, but the inward is being renewed day by day. You know, life teaches this as you get older. As you get older, you begin to understand that your body is giving way. I found that out yesterday. Trying to do something I didn't have a very hard time doing about 10 years ago, I got a lot of difficult time doing today. Not because I forgot how to do it, but because it's just difficult because I'm older. And it takes longer for me to recover than it used to. But you know what? I hope my spiritual renewal in my inner man, it hasn't grown weak. No matter what I experience in this physical body, I can't allow it to diminish what I have in Jesus Christ. Because it will make me be able to go through with whatever happens to this physical body if I depend on my faith. Last but not least this morning, the fourth key is to focus on your hope. Look at verse 17, beginning in verse 17 of chapter 4. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know this, that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house made, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation with it from heaven. For we who are in this, if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed up that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we always are confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, we're well pleased, rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Hope sustains us through difficult times. Comparing now with later. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what you deal with here. It doesn't matter what the hardship is. It doesn't matter what the difficulty is. It doesn't matter what the tribulation is. Whatever you deal with can no way compare to what God has promised you. I have seen people deal with things in this life. I don't know how they deal with it. I don't know how they deal with it. You know how they deal with it? They look beyond it. And that's what we must do. We must look beyond it. It's part of the things that we deal with here, but we can look beyond it. Focusing on what will be and not on what we now physically see. Ladies and gentlemen, what we see, everything we see now is temporal. Everything we endure now is temporal. Every problem, hardship, difficulty is temporal. It has a beginning. It has an ending. But we're going to a place that has no ending. Has no problems. Has no hardships. Has no pain. No misery, no difficulty, no fighting with Satan, no trying to overcome temptation, not being discouraged any longer, and not allowing this life to beat us down. I want that place. I want to see it for myself. I want to experience it firsthand. But you know what? I'm not going to ever get there unless I allow nothing in this life to cause me to lose sight of that. It always hits me reading over passages at a grave. That's not the end. It's the end of the service. It's the final thing we do, and it's the most difficult thing when you say goodbye to a loved one, when you fight them to their final resting place. But I'm always reminded at every funeral that I attend or I preach that is not the end. That is just a temporary separation. One day, everyone in the grave is going to come out. Jesus said that. Marvel at this, for the hour is coming that all that are in the grave will hear His voice. Those who have done right to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. The grave is not the end. Death is not the enemy. And this life is not the reward. It is yet to come. I'm reminded by a story I heard, and maybe you've heard it too, about a woman. When she was buried, left instructions in her will that she wanted a fork in her hand. But that's kind of a strange request. And so they asked her husband about it. Why did your wife? Why did she leave in that will to have the fork? He said, because my Lord said the best is yet to come. We cry because of sorrow. We cry because of emptiness. We cry out of selfishness because of the void that's in our life. Ladies and gentlemen, the hope that lasts beyond the grave is worth more than all the money in this world could provide. It is the only thing that truly gives comfort. It is the only thing that really sustains us to deal with this thing we call life. It's the only thing that will get you through the tears and the gloom and the darkness. And therefore, we need to live by faith and not by sight. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have difficulty. You're going to have hardship. You're going to have things that you would rather not deal with. You're going to have experiences that you would rather not have. And you're going to have things that you don't understand, you don't comprehend, and you wish you could somehow not have to go through it. But go through it you will. Experience it you will. Deal with it you must. But what it costs you, that's up to you. That's up to each one of us. God has not left us here without help. You know what God knew better than all of us in this audience knew? He knew how difficult life was going to be for us. He knew when man made the bad choice to allow sin to come into the world, He knew all the ramifications of that. He knew all that it would bring, and He knew all the adversity and hardship that it would bring to His creation. And so God provided some help. And ladies and gentlemen, if you will focus on these four things, if you will focus on your work, if you will focus on your purpose, and you will focus on your faith, and you will allow your hope to sustain you, I promise you this. You not only will cope with your hardship, you will win the battle. Because you will win the greatest thing that you are striving for, and that is heaven. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you're in a struggle. And you're in a struggle that you will never win by yourself. Because life is going to beat upon you as a storm beats upon a house. And it's like the parable of the man that built his house on the rock and the one that built his house upon the sand. One's house is going to stand, one house is going to fall. And if you try to beat the devil and this thing called life without God, you're going to lose every time. But God says you don't have to fight the devil alone. You don't have to face life and its adversity alone. I'll help you if you let me. Hear my word and believe it. Have faith in me. Trust me. Know that my ways are the best ways. Repent of your sin. Acknowledge your sinfulness. Turn from sin and acknowledge that you need to go in a different direction. Confess my name before men, that you accept that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that you'll allegiance your life to me, and then submit yourself to a watery grave of baptism that you might contact the blood of Christ that will wash away every sin that you committed and the condemnation of those sins you will never give answer for again. they will be gone. But then the real work begins. And many of you in this audience, you've already done that. You've already obeyed the gospel. You're in the family of God. You have all the blessings that are in Christ. You have all the advantages of being a Christian. But how are you doing with your life? Are you coping with your difficulty? Are you coping with the struggles? Are you coping with the discouragement that comes in all of our lives? If you're struggling, I know why. You're struggling because your faith is not what it should be. Rejuvenate yourself today. Rededicate yourself that God is the answer. That God will get you through the gloom. He'll get you to the end of the tunnel. And He'll get you to that home in heaven if you'll let Him. We can pray with you and for you. We'll be glad to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have hardship. You're going to have difficulty. God said there's a way to win if you'll let Him be the one that leads you through the hardship. We can help you this morning. We bid you to come. It's together. We stand and sing.